I think it was 4 or 5 years ago that I had a conversation with Dr. Ben Goldacre about a great book he wrote called Bad Science, in which he went after all sorts of nonsense like homeopathy and ear candling and all sorts of things that people, not just in the U.S., but around the world, had been convinced would make them healthier, but in fact were either A, doing nothing to make them healthier, nothing more than placebos would do, or B, in some cases, people were convinced that these alternative medicines and alternative methods were helping them, and so they were turning away from real medicine and real science that would have helped them, and thus they were harmed by taking those bad alternatives. I think the old saying is, you know what they call alternative medicine that works? Medicine. Well, now Ben is back with a new book called Bad Pharma: How Drug Companies Mislead Doctors and Harm Patients. Ben Goldacre, it's nice to talk to you again.
Hey, thanks for having me on, boss.
It's my pleasure. In this book, you go after the big pharmaceutical companies, not just in the United States, but around the world. Tell me what's at the top of your hit list for them.
So the biggest problem of all is the missing clinical trial data issue. We need to base our decisions as doctors and patients on all of the currently available evidence. But we know that about half of all of the clinical trials for the treatments that we use today have never been published. And we know that trials with positive results are about twice as likely to be published as trials with negative results. Now, that's a real problem because it means that the evidence we have isn't just incomplete, it's also biased, and it gives an exaggerated picture of the benefits of treatments. Now, I think it's pretty unusual that treatments get on the market which are actively worse than useless. But I think we are often misled about the relative benefits. We don't know how good something is, and we don't know how good it is compared to other treatments, because half the data is censored from us.
When you say the data isn't shared with us, are you talking about pharmaceutical companies doing tests on their own drugs, getting negative results, and then deciding not to put that on the market, or getting negative results and putting it on the market anyway, and then not telling us about the negative results?
Yeah, I'm talking about drugs which are on the market and available, and that's why it's such a problem. I don't really mind if people hide results on drugs which nobody's taking, but if I'm making a decision as a doctor about which treatment is best for the patient in front of me, I need to make sure that I've got all of the information, not just the good half. And it's extraordinary, really, that we've let this problem go on for so long. We've known about it since the mid-1980s, and we've had a series of what I would call fake fixes, codes of conduct and legislation, which don't just fail to fix the problem, but worse than that, they lull everyone into a false sense of security. So, for example, there's legislation that means that people have to post results on a website called clinicaltrials.gov for every trial conducted in the US, and they have to post those results within a year. And when that law came in about 4 years ago, everybody started celebrating. Everybody acted as if the problem had been fixed forever. But there was no public audit of whether that law had been followed. And when one was finally published in the British Medical Journal in just 2012, we found the rate of compliance with this law was 22%. So four trials out of five ignored this legislation, which everybody had said had fixed the problem. Now, I think that's unforgivable. We can't leave medicine in this appalling state where half of the evidence is censored from doctors and patients. It's bizarre. It makes us little better than quacks.
Is the reason for this because Big Pharma has more representatives in Washington than we do? We have 435 congressmen and 100 senators, so that's 535 people supposedly representing the public. I would bet that there are 600, 700, 800 or more lobbyists just for Big Pharma.
Well, I guess that's part of the problem. I think another issue is that doctors and academics haven't been very good at standing up for patients. I think we've been quite complacent as a profession. We've acted as if we are competently practicing evidence-based medicine without really addressing all of these flaws. Now, to be absolutely clear, you know, this isn't a conspiracy theory book and it's not a self-help book. This is like it's a fun read, I hope, but it's a pop science book.
Yep.
And it's about the scientific details of how do we test medicines? How do we measure the risks and benefits of treatments? And what are the shortcomings in those systems? And I think the public will be very disappointed and possibly even angry when they see the very, very glaring problems that have been around in medicine for so long that nobody's fixed. We focus on developing new treatments, and that's a really great way to spend our money, but we fail to focus on fixing these systemic flaws in how we measure the risks and benefits of the treatments that we have, how we put that information into practice. And it's not good enough.
When you say in the title of the book, the drug companies are misleading doctors, how are they doing that?
Okay, so the first and most important thing by far is withholding the results of unflattering clinical trials.
Yep.
But then on top of that, we have clinical trials which are flawed by design in various really clever, nerdy ways, such that they're no longer a fair test of which treatment is best. And then finally, marketing. So marketing is really, it's just biased dissemination of evidence. So I'm talking here about not just drugs company sales reps going out and promoting medicines to doctors, but also the way that doctors' continuing medical education once they leave medical school is dominated by industry-funded educational activity, and also the way that ghostwriters have infested the medical literature. And these are all very well-documented problems in the professional academic medical journals. All I've done is make a clear, public, accessible explanation of these very, very well-established problems.
How much of that problem in marketing also comes from all these commercials saying, ask your doctor about this, ask your doctor about that, and people are finding that there are drugs that take care of problems that they didn't even know they had. Are doctors now being overwhelmed by those kind of questions, and are they not able to answer them, and so they're turning to those drug reps who, of course, only want to sell them those drugs?
Yeah, so we know that those direct-to-consumer adverts work in the sense that we know that they increase the number of patients asking their doctors for medicines,
yep.
But also, doctors, as you would hope, listen to their patients and accede to their patients' demands. Mm. So doctors often prescribe inappropriately in response to those adverts. For example, they'll give antidepressants to patients whose mental state doesn't necessarily justify that prescription. But you know what? More than anything else, I think those drug adverts are just seedy, and I don't think that they do the industry any favors. Everything I suggest in the book, and the book is full of simple solutions of how we could fix these systems failures. But all of the recommendations that I make, I think would actually be in industry's interest. It's amazing, really, how a $700 billion industry that makes life-saving products has managed to become one of the most reviled and despised sets of corporations in the world.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary how they've managed to do that, and there's no need for it. You know, the drug adverts are seedy, hiding data is wrong, and I think it would be perfectly possible to make a lot of money out of selling truly effective medicines without doing any of that stuff. And I think they need to grow up and listen to reasonable criticism on these issues.
So you're saying that they should tell people, hey, not only are we going to make you healthier, we're going to be nice people too. We're going to be honest and nice. You think that's a good way to go, Ben? I think you're crazy.
I don't think they should tell people they're going to be honest and nice. I think they should be honest and nice. And that, you know, I agree. I think that may be a distant dream, but you know, isn't it perverse and bizarre? Why should they have cornered themselves into this ongoing pattern of bad behavior? You see it with children. You know, you see it with children. They just sort of get in a rut. I don't understand why pharma can't break the cycle and just come out, draw a line, share all of the data they've withheld, stop misleading doctors, and get back on with the business of helping people.
The book is called Bad Pharma, How Drug Companies Mislead Doctors and Harm Patients by Dr. Ben Goldacre. Always a pleasure. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Chief.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.